This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the
Priest,
the Pom,
and the Poof.
This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
And you're on Spirit Lounge, and yes, you are with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof.
Forgotten what you look like.
We're all here. We're back.
Happy New Year.
Yes, and to you too. I was here last week, wasn't I?
Last year?
No, Joy, last week.
Joy was in last week. We were both off holidaying.
We were still recovering.
And Andrew was in on Christmas Day.
I was. It was actually a pleasure to share Christmas with everyone.
Oh, I was the slack tart, not here at all.
Did you play some bad Christmas carols?
I played some horrible Christmas carols.
That's always important, isn't it?
It's part of the tradition, I think.
I went to a Christmas Eve service in the Sydney Town Hall, and there were something like 1,000 gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people and their family and friends. It was fabulous.
Wow, what a party.
I know, it was great.
That would have been huge.
It was huge. And they broadcast it live.
Fantastic.
Somehow.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. We're here every Tuesday night from 8 till 9. You're with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof. And we're into year 3 of our Spirit Lounge.
My goodness me, we've lasted that long.
They haven't kicked us off yet.
They haven't woken up yet. They probably missed that we're still on air. They thought we'd gone.
I know. Anyway, Priesty, what have we got tonight, honey?
We're actually going to have an interview that Dean Beck did and that was played on Christmas Day with the Pope of my church. Well, actually, she's called Moderator.
I was going to say, she's not a Pope, really.
Well, she sort of is, but she's much better than the Pope. Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson, and she's an amazing woman. She was in Sydney and she spoke at the Christmas Eve service.
Cool.
She came all the way from America.
Well, it's not so far, is it?
Oh, well, I thought it was. Gave up her Christmas Day with her family.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. To speak at the Sydney Town Hall.
To share it with 1,000 strangers.
Well, I was there. She knows me.
Okay, 999 strangers.
But, of course, we're going to start off tonight. Guess who got married?
Oh, God. You see, when I first met you, Priesty, it was Katie Lang. And now who is it, darling?
Horse. But I still like Katie Lang too. I played her last week.
Does Katie Lang know she's been chucked?
No, I haven't told her yet.
Okay.
But Horse is gone now. She's married.
She is married. Yeah. And congratulations, Horse and AJ, if you're listening, all the way in Scotland.
Wasn't it? I mean, I just saw a photo. Didn't they look absolutely
beautiful.
Stunning?
They posted a photo of their wedding day on Facebook and they both looked gorgeous.
And I noticed Horse posted a photo from the honeymoon. The fireplace.
Well, that's all you're going to get, honey, isn't it?
So we're going to start with a horse track, of course, called You Are.
Download Joy's free iPhone app, joy.org.au.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof back after a lovely break. And did I tell you I went to Mariah Carey concert?
You did mention that.
A couple of times. You might have mentioned it, maybe.
Now, I have to tell you about this concert because it was kind of weird. Because we've all been to concerts before, right? So I booked these tickets.
Where was it?
In the Rod Laver.
Okay.
Okay. Not been there before.
Picture it, yes.
Okay,
in the
so
scene.
We were on the flat. So
yes.
Quite pricey tickets on the flat.
Yep.
So I'm figuring expensive tickets should be able to see. So we got there and we're sitting quite farther back. And I thought, great, you know, when we stand up, there were lots and lots. The Asians love Mariah Carey. She's huge in Asia.
Really?
Yeah, she's massive. And Asian people are generally quite small, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, now I'm not tall either. So I thought, all these girls in front of us, I thought, great, they're all shorter than me. I'll be able to see. Anyway, maybe it's because I'm just getting a bit older.
And you're shrinking.
And no, not yet. I hope I'm not shrieking. Yeah. Anyway, so she finally comes on the stage. Everyone stands up, which you're going to predict. But then, now this doesn't work too well on radio, okay? So listeners, imagine for a minute.
She's everyone got her standing hands up, in then, the air, waving.
Everyone stands with both arms up in the air, holding their iPhones.
Oh.
So all everyone's iPhone had a really good concert. I, meanwhile, couldn't see a thing.
Oh, no.
I mean, people must get pins and needles. All the blood must run out of your arms.
So what do they just tape it?
People just standing there. So I thought, this is weird and annoying. So I went up the back to get more beer. And I thought, ha-ha. A little bit raised at the back. Back rows empty. Ran back down to my gorgeous wife. Said, come on, up the back. Went up the back. Just raised about kind of 10 rows. Perfect view of the stage. Thank you. Thank you. But very weird. And all I could see was the backs of people's iPhones. And they're all just standing like this. I'm doing it again. They're all standing like this. It's like an aerobic position.
Yeah, she's sitting there with her hands held high in the air. She hasn't got an iPhone in them, though. No.
But they're standing like this for the whole concert. Can you imagine how sore your arms would be at the end of the concert?
I have never seen anything like it.
Bizarre. Anyway, Mariah Carey was very good. A very prima donna. She spent more time in the dressing room than she did on the stage.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Well, she kept having to go and change her clothes.
Isn't
I don't
that,
know why.
Isn't that what you'd expect to go and see her for?
And the shoes were so, the platforms were so high and the heels were so, so high that she had to be escorted on and off the platform. She couldn't walk.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Couldn't walk. Kept going off and changing and, yeah, money's worth, no.
You needed higher heels. That is the answer.
Now, if I had her heels, I would have been able to see her.
Do you
her.
Know, I went to a Meatloaf concert there. Yeah. And I love Meatloaf.
Yeah.
And I was on the flat, front row.
Oh, get
had
you.
Had no trouble seeing everything. On that note, I think you'd better introduce
well,
Mariah
Carey. Just Mariah, darling, if you're listening, I hope your feet are better. And this is a slightly lesser known track. It's called Open Arms.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge, the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. Now, we're all going to be at Carnival Day, aren't we?
We are.
But they've got to find us.
Yep.
We should give a prize for the person who finds the Priest, the Pom and the Poof.
Is this like one of those things where you have to collect all three and then you get a prize?
I'm not sure what the prize is. They could take us out for a drink.
They could.
After
but
the show.
How are they going to spot us? Because it's radio, they don't know what we look like.
Exactly, but they're going to
find out.
Well,
they will know what we look like because everybody will be on our social media page checking us out. You can find us on social media.
Yes, you should like us or become friends or what do they do?
Or follow us.
You join our group. So you just search for the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 and it'll bring up our group and you'll be able to join us and then you'll know, you'll have the secret clue that you need to find us.
And we're not going to say where we'll be or what time.
Be lucky if we find each other at this rate. But do come along on Sunday. Joy, I think, have a big community kind of area and you can become a member and you can meet lots of the broadcasters and presenters. And
Joy's looking after the community stage as well, so get along there and you'll be able to see.
Not me, Joy 94. Joy. No. I know nothing about it. I'm not looking after anything. Okay, we're going to play an interview that Dean Beck did with Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson, who, as we said, is the moderator of MCC. And this interview was played on Christmas Day. Here's Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson.
It is Christmas Day here on Joy 94.9. Hope you're enjoying your lunch. And one of the great privileges that we get to do on a station like Joy 94.9 is speak with some pretty important people. Our next guest is one of those people. She is the Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson and she is the moderator of the Metropolitan Community Church internationally. She's the boss. She's the bigwig. And she joins us now. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too.
Thank you very much for joining us on this special day. Tell us what Christmas means to you.
Yes, well, I think Christmas for me it means several things. First of all, it's the sense in which, from a person of faith, I would say that we have a sense of a God who comes to us in love. And, you know, so much of the world today, when you hear religion speaking about God, it's not a message of love, but often it's a message of intolerance or things like that. And I think that one of the things that unites people about Christmas is the sense of God's love and unconditional love, and that love is for all people, and that there's something so amazing and powerful about that kind of faith. and that I think is available for all people. I think there are a whole lot of people who today are very suspicious of religion, but who are deeply spiritual and looking for something that really is positive and that gives a positive view of God and of human community.
We see it here, and of course it's quite pronounced in the US, that Christian religions do not often embrace the gay and lesbian community. In fact, they seem to go about trying to demonize us in more ways than one.
Right. You see often that it is religion, Christianity, and sometimes other religions too, that are the opposition to human rights, that are the main force for homophobia in all kinds of places all over the world. And I think it's a particular job that those of us who are gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgendered and who are also people of faith have a bridge to build here, and to say, you know, that we believe that people are often distorting the faith to promote hate, that hate is really not indigenous to what Christianity was all about in the beginning. You know, I think Jesus often was somebody who was irritated by people who were very religious, and I think that's one of the things that I love about him. You know, he really hung out with people who were not religious, who were often outcasts in his day. That's what makes Jesus attractive to me and to us. It's a shame that Christianity has often forgotten that and seems to have forgotten the real message of the gospel.
The Metropolitan Community Church is known around the world for embracing outcasts.
Yes.
You stated recently that it was founded on a calling to save lives and transform faith. What do you mean by that?
You know, from the very beginning, MCC was a place where people reached out for help. Many people who couldn't reconcile themselves to their faith or to their sexuality, and who reached out for community. MCC was really, you know, was born before Stonewall in the United States as really a church of liberation that stood for civil rights and human rights of gay people, and said we have just as much a right to be here as anyone else, and we have the right to choose our own families and to live our lives in dignity and love and liberation. And also to say that there are still people in most parts of the world where still it's dangerous to be openly gay, where there still are not human rights as there are in some of our countries. I think some of us have gotten more complacent in our countries where, you know, we've seen a lot of progress. But in most of the world today, people still live in conditions that we think of as being in the 1950s or worse.
You started as an elder with the Metropolitan Community Church in the mid-70s.
Yes.
So you've been around a while.
I have.
tell me what sort of growth periods and contracting periods you have seen occur within the church.
Yes. You know, I think MCC had an early growth spurt in the 70s when, in some sense, it was very novel to even think about anyone, a person of faith, being a gay person. And then great, enormous challenges, especially during the early years of HIV/AIDS, which, you know, for many of organizations was the great test of our being in the 80s and early 90s. And I think we met those challenges very well. It also, you know, I think challenged us in many ways in terms of our growth and future. But in the last decade, for MCC especially, it's really been about being an international church and an international movement in partnership with lots of other groups doing human rights work. And we really see our faith work as connected to our human rights work in a fundamental way. And I think we are all, you know, sort of amazed, you know, that in 40-plus years of a movement that we've seen so much change, and that we've seen in many countries and places that we've seen such extraordinary progress and opening up of public opinion and of human rights and of marriage equality and many other things that perhaps we wouldn't even thought we'd see in our lifetime. And so I think we take great heart about that. We also know that in places like Uganda and places like Eastern Europe and in the Middle East and in parts of Asia, and it's in the Caribbean, it's very, very dangerous to be a gay activist.
We're speaking with the Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson. She is the moderator of the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches. That conversation around marriage equality,
yes,
has certainly been something that has come to the fore just in the last 5 to 10 years. But with that has come an extraordinary amount of hatred towards our community.
Yeah, you know, I think there's always that thing when you push the envelope in some way, you push at the heart of issues. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, we believe in equality for gay people. It's another thing to say, but actually, we believe in gay people's relationships and families also ought to be acknowledged as equal. That really, in some senses and in some cultures, becomes that defining moment. Do we really want equality, not just on a theoretical basis, but on an actual basis? In the ways that, you know, people define their lives and relationships. And so, you know, on the other hand, you know, I think we've made so much more progress than we expected to in a short time. Although, you know, people think of the marriage equality movement as being very new, but, you know, MCC performed the first kind of open public marriage in 1969. And that's something that we felt from the beginning we knew was part and parcel of what we came to do.
In fact, you yourself have been married for some 34 years.
35 as of
35.
November.
35? Yes. Wow. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Yes. And we were legally married in Massachusetts about 8 years ago in the U.S., but have been together and been in a relationship for 35 years. Yes.
Almost 12 months ago to the day, you and your wonderful partner were at the White House enjoying Christmas with President Obama.
Yes. Yes, I serve on the President's Council on Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. So we were invited to the White House together, and that's a wonderful experience. The present President of the United States has been the most supportive of gay rights of any president ever in our history, in so many ways, undoing what we call Don't Ask, Don't Tell for the military, in coming out personally in support of gay rights and gay marriage, and in really using his power in the federal government to increase the rights for gay and lesbian people in many, many ways.
Do you feel that support when in his presence?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. He's extremely personally, very supportive, open. It's really very remarkable and sort of unprecedented, I think.
It warms the heart.
It does. Well, you know, it does. Really, it is. It does make a difference. His stance and what he's done has had an impact on a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this country, we are seemingly quite a long way away from marriage equality. How do we keep on track? How do we not become complacent? How do we not just give up and throw our arms in the air and say it's all too hard?
Well, I think it's important to realize how far you have come and how much progress you have made, and say, you know, you can't stop, though, and say that's enough. I think we get sometimes tricked into thinking, well, that's about as far as we can take it, or that's good enough. And really, nothing short of full equality is really good enough. We have to believe that first inside ourselves and be discontent with anything less than full equality. And I think that's the thing we have to remember, because the rest of the world depends on us as well, and looks to Australia, would look to other places to say what happens here is impacting the rest of the world.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Land with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof. And that was the gorgeous Andy Sorensen.
That was a really beautiful track.
Track is, yeah, Safe in Your Arms.
Oh.
Our own Australian homegrown talent.
He's lovely.
He is. We're talking about lovely. We've received an email from Max. No, an SMS.
Lovely lovies.
From Max. Darling Max, I have a little bit of trouble reading this. Loves, good to have your back. Happy, happy New Year. And he concurs with your views. He went to the fireworks in the CBD and they were doing the iPhone dance.
Max, sweetie, have you had something to drink? His spelling's not too hot, is it? Anyway, I'm glad you agree, and it's not just me that was confused as to why everyone was giving their iPhone a better time at the Mariah Carey concert than themselves.
Yeah, I don't quite get this iPhone.
It's some new thing for the youngsters.
We must be old.
We are old.
Andrew,
yeah.
Do you get it?
I can understand. Like, I can understand if there's like your favourite song comes on and you want to capture that.
Yes.
But I don't think the whole concert is really...
Wouldn't it be better to watch it on YouTube or play it on a DVD or
just
something?
Just buy the DVD on your way out. I think that's what they want you to do, isn't it?
Okay, we're going to have the second part of the interview that Dean Beck did with Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson.
Our special guest is the Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson. She is in charge of the Metropolitan Community Church right around the world, and she is here with us on this Christmas Day. Now, family means different things to different people, and to gays and lesbians, family is a little bit more fluid than birthright. So what does family mean to you?
Well, I think family means to me the close and intimate associations I have with people, some of whom are my biological family, but some of whom are my dearest friends in the world. My partner Paula and I always say there are people just who are family to us, some of whom maybe we don't see for a long time, but who we know we have history with, we have a closeness with, and who we will be there for them and they'll be there for us. And so I think family is the sense of who it is we know we can count on and depend on, who it is that we feel a connection, a powerful connection to. And I think that's true with people, you know, not only gay and lesbian people, but I think all people in the world. Family is changing. So it's not considered or limited to biological family, but really one's closest friends also become part of one's extended family.
There are many, sadly, who don't have that sense of family at this particular time, and many within our community that applies to. It's a tough time for some.
Yes. Yes, well, I know that, you know, one of the things I think that MCC has tried to do is help people heal so that they can risk having family and family of choice and friends and create that family and sometimes reconcile with even their biological families. One of the things I've learned living as an open gay person for a long time and is that if you live long enough and you keep working at it, that it's amazing what can happen even with our biological families. And, you know, sometimes we have to set boundaries with family that say, you don't get to define me, and sometimes we have to take a break from our biological families if they're destructive or dysfunctional in some ways. But I think also there's many ways in which over time our families also grow and heal and change, and sometimes it's the younger generations in our family that do that. And I'm always encourage people to keep the doors open, to keep your hearts and minds open, while also reaching out in the present moment, not to be alone, and to, you know, there's always somebody who also needs a friend and who also needs connection and community. I think it's important to find ways to reach out, especially at this time of year. There should always be a place where people can go and feel connected and know that there are people like you who are looking for that sense of connection.
And one of the things that we take great pride in here at Joy 94.9 is being able to be the voice of the community and be there for those, even on days like today, that do not have a family. And I hope in listening to our conversations today, we're providing you with just a little bit of happiness.
Yes, thank you for doing that. It's a wonderful service that you do. And I know there are people just listening who just take comfort and hope in listening to you.
Now, Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson, would you like to leave us with a special word for the gay and lesbian community of Australia?
Yes, just to say how proud I am of the gay and lesbian community of Australia and how much I always feel at home when I come to Australia, and I'm proud of all the progress that you've made and for the great way in which you're reaching out and being community to each other and to so many who need you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this Christmas Day. May you have a safe journey back to the US, and all the very best to you.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge. Now, we've been listening to an interview that Dean Beck covered with Nancy, and she's part of the MCC Church.
Yes, and our next guest is also a pastor with MCC, and he's with Crave MCC. Welcome and Happy New Year, Carl.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy New Year to you as well.
And it was great to catch up with you in Sydney.
Yeah, it was good to see you.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the fireworks on Sydney Harbour?
We had a great time on the fireworks. Some friends of mine and my partner and I went to a little spot in Balmain that we know that you get a really good view from. So we chilled out, we cracked open some champagne, and we had a beautiful evening. It was nice.
That sounds fabulous. Now, you've got a conference coming up, haven't you?
Yep, we do.
Well, we hope so, because Andrew's actually booked to go. So
I've booked my flights, so hopefully I've got them on the right weekend.
So you're the Andrew who just registered for conference. Okay.
Yes. Now you know.
I spotted an Andrew. I didn't realise it was you.
You didn't close bookings just before you registered, did you?
No, bookings are very open, and we do have a few spots left. So,
yeah. So tell us a little bit about the conference, what it is and who's going to be there and what's going to happen.
Well, it's really called the Walk Home because it's all about your life and your journey. And, you know, we have a lot of people at Crave and in Metropolitan Community Church for whom your relationship with God matters to you so much, because everyone who's in MCC has fought in order to be able to have a relationship with God. And people have gone through a lot. So the Walk Home is about your walk with God. It's about your spiritual life and your journey and where it is that God is calling you to go and who God is calling you to be. So that's a topic I'm really excited about and passionate about. And we have some really cool people who are coming in to speak at our conference. One of them is Tim Kurek, who just a couple of months ago published this incredible book where he went undercover. He's a straight man, he's a Christian, and he was raised in a fundamentalist church in Tennessee. And he went undercover in order to experience homophobia and discrimination for himself so that he would know what it was like. And at the end of the time, he published the chronicle of what had happened. And it's caught on everywhere. Everyone's talking about it. It went viral. It's been on TV all over the United States. And it's very controversial for a lot of people. And he's talking about his journey and what led him down that path. And we also have a few people who are coming in whose journey has been incredible. One of them is Matt Glover, who's a guy coming up from Melbourne who I think a lot of people down there know and love. Matt and what he did, he took the very risky step of coming out as supporting gay and lesbian people, even though he had a secure job in a Baptist church. And the Baptist group, they got together and in a very kind of not so nice way, they fired him. Churches, I guess, they're exempt from anti-discrimination law, so they can just fire you because they don't like what you think. And he lost his job and he lost his ministry, and it was heartbreaking for him. So he's going to be sharing about his journey. And he's going to be talking about the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told and what it's like to be embraced by God's love and God's arms again at the end of a hurtful experience.
So Carl, when is it on?
It's on the Australia Day long weekend.
Right.
So what we've done this year is we've gone for Sunday, Monday, which is leaving the whole Saturday for picnicking and fireworks and all the stuff that people love to do. But you've got the Monday off as a public holiday. So we're going from Sunday morning at 10 a.m. through to Monday at 2 p.m., which gives you plenty of time to get back home again.
And where is it on it?
It's at Redfern Community Centre, which is on Hugo Street, and it's really close to public transport. I walk there from Central Station, and it only takes me about 15 minutes.
Oh,
but
great.
If you go to Redfern Station, it's actually just around the corner. So really easy to get to.
If people are interested in having a look at more about the conference or registering, how do they do that?
Well, a number of ways. The simplest way is just to go to thewalkhome.info. So thewalkhome.info is just a website. It's got all the info. It's got the program of the conference. It's got a place you can register, ways that you can pay, and that's really easy. But you can also, if you find Crave MCC's Facebook page, we've got an event that you can click attending on. If you go to Crave MCC's website, which is cravemcc.com, there's links to it from there. So it's pretty hard to miss. Or actually look on SX, the queer newspaper. Check out their website because there's a link to it up on there as well at the moment.
That sounds fabulous. Okay, so if people are interested, you look up some more information. That's the Walk Home Conference. Thank you very much, Carl.
Thank you.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the three Ps.
Oh, my goodness me, she's going to start singing in a moment.
No, I'll leave that to Mariah Carey.
You haven't got the high heels for it, darling. Andrew and I would have to support you on the stage.
Or the high voice.
But we've got iPhones.
We've got iPhones, I know. Now, it's the time in the programme where we report on the best stories in the press
with
religious people around the world. Just a bit tongue-in-cheek and a bit of fun. And here we go, all the way from Illinois. This is my favourite of the week. Anti-gay priest calls emergency services after getting stuck in handcuffs. Oh, I wonder what he was doing.
He was leaning on the bench and the handcuffs just went on him.
An Illinois Catholic priest whose church has criticised same-sex marriage proposals was caught gagged and handcuffed.
Gagged, not just handcuffed,
no,
gagged.
Gagged and handcuffed in his rectory. Now, If you follow this story on the internet, there are some people that get confused with the word rectory. I shall no further.
I think we should not talk about that.
So the diatribe and dialogue on the internet was really quite funny. Anyway, Father Tom Donovan had to call emergency workers, reportedly saying, "I'm going to need help getting out before this becomes a medical emergency." So the dispatcher on the end of the phone says, "You're stuck in a pair of handcuffs?" So Donovan responds, "I was playing with them and I need help getting out." The priest, like he's on his own, right? The priest told the dispatcher he was alone in the rectory and it is unclear as to how he ended up in handcuffs or why he feared a medical emergency was about to come upon him. He was also wearing some sort of gag. Now the priest is on administrative leave.
I wonder what that means, administrative leave.
He's been suspended.
He's having to do the paperwork, incident report. Hazard report.
This smacks of, I had a rent boy round, doesn't it?
Well, it smacks of some, I'm sure he didn't do it to himself.
How could you gag yourself and then handcuff yourself and then dial 911?
But I want to know what he did to piss the other person off so much that they left him handcuffed.
Well, maybe.
I mean, he must have done something.
Yeah, but all this kinky sex. I mean, you don't have to do something bad. That might be part of the foreplay, isn't it?
You don't ask me, Andrew.
I don't know.
We're looking at you.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you're a gay male.
Listeners, Andrew now is not giving us any eye contact at all.
He is claiming to know nothing about handcuffs.
Well, I think...
And he's trying to wind us up and shut us up.
But it's always the sexually repressed, isn't it, who are supposed to be celibate, who get caught doing all these naughty things with rent boys, don't they?
Yes, but we don't know it was a rent boy. We really can't jump to that conclusion.
Well, okay, it might be someone who was just into S&M.
Probably one of his parishioners.
It was probably another priest. Anyway, I think it's about time the Catholic Church put an end to celibacy.
Oh, Bertie, they'll never do that.
Yeah, well, I can suggest it. I'll email the Pope and I'll just suggest that he gives it some thought.
I think he should give it some thought. Before any more of his priests get in trouble.
Well, there you go. You see, that's
I
what
wonder
happens.
If he gets a report on all these things.
What, the Pope?
Yeah.
Probably, in secret. Anyway, that's our funny story for tonight.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.